所以他们不能唱大声的。
这个门坏了有缝，所以稍微声音大了外面就听得很清楚，所以大家轻一点把声音放低一些，放轻。
窗里面就可以是
门上关
关了，左侧左侧左侧那边，左侧这边关了
Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kiti
Krishna Chaitanya
Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Nitamstya He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
你可以带那个多久？我们希望跟我在一起。
他是说喜欢你跟他在一起。
I want to start the 18th chapter today.
18th chapter?
Yeah. I'm just going through the main points of the chapter. Today we're going to begin chapter 18 of the Bhagavad Gita.
今天呢，我们开始学习《薄伽梵歌》第十八章。
Now the Bhagavad Gita is just like a good class.
薄伽梵歌就像是一堂非常精彩的讲课。
At the beginning of the class, the teacher will tell you what they're going to study.
那么在一堂课开始之前，老师会告诉你接下来要学习的是什么内容。
He'll give the main points he's going to teach.
他会把要点介绍给你们。
And then after teaching it, at the end of the class, then he'll go over the main points again.
那么在这堂课讲完之后，到了最后的时候，老师他又会把所有的讲述的内容进行一次概述。
So the Bhagavad Gita is like that.
所以呢，《薄伽梵歌》也就像这样。
Krishna, well, the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is just an introduction where we get the background of what's happening.
那么在《薄伽梵歌》的第一章呢，主要是一个背景的介绍。
Then in the second chapter, Krishna begins by covering, by explaining the main point, what he's going to teach. He summarizes all his teachings.
那么在《薄伽梵歌》的第二章， Krishna 就开始了概述所有他即将讲到的要点。
The second chapter teaches about karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga.
那么在第二章当中就简要的概述了业报瑜伽、karma yoga、jnana yoga、智慧瑜伽以及呢，还有就是 bhakti yoga、奉爱瑜伽。
And then again, now in then he begins to teach it. The first chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, they're covering karma yoga and coming to the conclusion that bhakti yoga is the best of all.
然后呢，接下来就是第三章、第四章、第五章和第六章。那么是从业报瑜伽开始讲述的，最后的结论是佛家，最后的结论是 bhakti yoga， 奉爱瑜伽是最高的。
Yeah, Krishna takes us through the yoga ladder.
那么 Krishna 他就带着我们，从这个瑜伽的这个阶梯自下而上的往上走。
And the conclusion comes at the end of the sixth chapter that of all yogis, the best yogi is the one who is engaged in working for Krishna and serving him with love.
那么在前六章结束的时候，就有了一个结论，就是最好的瑜伽师就是以爱心侍奉 Krishna, 服务 Krishna 的人。
And then Krishna in the chapter 7 up to chapter 12, Krishna explains all types of transcendental knowledge.
那么在第七章到第十二章之间呢， Krishna 就介绍了各种各样的超然的知识。
He explains first of all about his different energies in chapter 7.
那么在第七章当中，首先 Krishna 介绍了各种各样的他的能量。
And how by thinking of him at the end, in chapter 8, he explains how by remembering what you remember at the end of life, it will determine where you will go in your next life.
那么在第八章的最后的部分， Krishna 他就讲到了你在死亡临终的那一刻想到了什么就会去到哪里。
And if you can remember Krishna at the end of life, then you can go to Krishna.
那么当你在临终的时候能够想到 Krishna 的话，那么你死后就将去到 Krishna 那里。
And then the ninth chapter, you have the most confidential knowledge.
那么第九章就是对最机密的知识。
That we should perform, we should use our mind to always think of Krishna.
也就是说，我们应当要让我们的心也恒常的处于对 Krishna 的思念之中。
To worship Krishna.
去崇拜 Krishna.
Offer obeisances to Krishna.
向 Krishna 顶拜。
And become his devotee.
然后呢，成为 Krishna 的一位奉献者。
And then the tenth chapter is the opulences of the absolute.
那么在第十章呢，就是绝对者的富裕。
And Krishna explains how even a common person can think of Krishna in so many different phenomena of the material world.
那么他就讲述了，即使是一个普通的常人，一个凡人，也可以基于这个物质现象世界中的一切来想到 Krishna。
And then Krishna in the 11th chapter shows the universal form.
那么在第十一章的时候， Krishna 就介绍了他的宇宙形体。
But Arjuna was not happy to see that universal.
但是呢，当 Arjuna 看到了 Krishna 的宇宙形体的时候，他
And he saw Krishna's forearm form, and he wasn't so inspired by that also.
当他看到了 Krishna的 四臂形体的时候, 他也没有受到什么鼓舞。
He preferred Krishna in his original two-arm form.
他更愿意 Krishna以他的原初的两臂形体出现。
But Krishna, by showing the universal form and his forearm form, he showed that these forms are all within his two-arm form.
那么 Krishna 他就是通过了自己的宇宙形体以及这个四臂的形体，他就解释了一个重要的要点，就是这一切形体都存在于他的两臂形体之中。
That this two-arm form of Krishna is the supreme form, and it contains all of Krishna's other forms.
也就是 Krishna的两臂形体是最至高无上的，它其中包含了 Krishna所有其他的形体。
Then in the 12th chapter, then Krishna was asked by Arjuna, which is better, to worship his impersonal feature or his personal feature?
那么在第十二章的时候， Arjuna就询问了 Krishna的一个问题， 究竟是崇拜 Krishna的非人格形体更好， 还是崇拜 Krishna的人格形体更好？
And Krishna said that it's always better to worship him in his personal feature.
所以呢， Krishna的回答就是永远要崇拜他的人格的形体， 因为这更好。
And then Krishna went on to describe the qualities of a devotee.
然后呢， Krishna就开始描述了奉献者的品质。
And then we began, then in the other chapters 13 up to 17, Krishna is giving all types of knowledge about the material nature and its relationship with the Supreme.
那么从第13章到第17章呢， Krishna就解释了关于物质自然的各个性质以及和至尊者之间的关系。
And especially a lot of information about the three modes of material nature.
那尤其是关于物质自然三形态方面的知识， Krishna解释得非常详细。
How they influence many things.
另外就是这物质自然三形态是如何产生它的影响的。
But the conclusion was that we should to overcome the modes of nature, we have to engage in devotional service.
那么这个结论是非常清晰的，就是如果我们要超越这些物质自然形态的影响，我们必须要从事奉献服务。
So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has been always bringing us to that point that we have to do devotional service.
所以呢，在博迦梵歌自始至终呢，都贯穿了一个宗旨。 就是说我们必须要成为Krishna的奉献者，为Krishna做奉献服务，这是一切的要点。And
we will see that at the end of this 18th chapter, Krishna again brings this chapter to that conclusion that we have to surrender to him and be a devotee.
那么在这个第最后一章18章当中， 你可以看到Krishna他又一次 下了这个结论， 就是说我们必须要归于Krishna， 做Krishna的奉献者， 为他服务。
So then the 18th chapter begins, the title of the chapter is The Conclusion, The Perfection of Renunciation.
那么第18章的标题是结论，弃绝的完美境界。
So it begins with Arjuna's question.
那么首先是以Arjuna的提问开始的。
Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyasa, O killer of the Kesi demon, master of the senses.
那么第一个世界是Arjuna说，臂力强大者呀，我想了解气绝的目的和生命的气绝阶段的意义，开心魔的图者，感官之主啊。
So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, maybe you want to read that first paragraph there.
Okay. 那么在这个帕武帕的对于这一个世界的要旨中，
well, it's really long. You don't need to read so much. But the first few sentences.
在第一个段当中讲到，
First two sentences. 实际上，博迦梵歌在第十七章就已结束，第十八章是对前面讨论过的主题的一个辅助性总结。 还有一个。 在博迦梵歌的每一章，主都强调，为至尊人格神做奉献服务是生命的终极目的。 So Arjuna is asking this question. This has been discussed earlier in the third chapter, in the fifth chapter, and then again it came up at the beginning of the sixth chapter also.
那么实际上，Arjuna 在这里提的这个问题，在《博伽梵歌》前面的第三章、第五章。
Sometimes people think that spirituality means to give up work.
那么有的人他以为就是灵性的生活就在于要完全的放弃工作。
People have that idea that to become a devotee of Krishna, we should give up work.
那么有的人他以为就是如果说我们要成为 Krishna 的奉献者, 我们就应当完全地放弃工作。
Because, you know, working, it's not very pleasant. You don't always enjoy it.
因为那工作并不是让人感到非常欣喜的一件事情, 谁也不喜欢工作。
You go through a lot of inconvenience.
那么你为了工作, 你不得不经历很多的不便。
And so people think, yeah, certainly there's nothing spiritual about my work. My job. So better to give it up.
所以有的人就会认为我还不如把工作放弃了呢。
And Arjuna also was thinking like that himself.
那么Arjuna他本人也是有这样的思想。
Because Arjuna is supposed to fight a battle against people who he had love and respect for.
那么Arjuna呢, 因为他原本就是要跟他所爱的、所尊重的人进行一次战斗。
So to fight with them and kill people, that's going to be very troublesome.
所以对他来说，要杀人，要和这样的人进行战斗，是让他内心感到非常痛苦、骚扰的。
So when something is troublesome, we think, well, better not to do it, better to avoid it.
所以有的人认为,
why take so much trouble?
所以有的人认为，如果有这些麻烦来到的时候，最好就不要去做了。为什么要自寻烦恼呢？
So Arjuna wants to understand anyway, what is the purpose of tyaga, renunciation, and what is the purpose of renounced order of life?
那么Arjuna他就想知道这个tyaga弃绝的目的是什么，另外还有就是生命的这个弃绝阶段，sannyasi的意思意义。
So in this verse, Krishna is addressed by two names. One name is Rishikesh.
那么在这里呢, Arjuna 是称呼 Krishna, 以两个名字称呼他, 一个是Rishikesh.
Rishikesh means the one who is the master of the senses.
Rishikesh的意思就是感官之主的意思。
So if we can control our senses, then it's a great help for us to be peaceful.
那么如果我们能够控制住我们的感官的话，那么就可以达到平和，对我们帮助是非常大的。And
the other name is Keshi Nishudana.
那么另外一个名字就是 Keshi Nishudana.
Means the killer of the demon Keshi.
就是开心魔的屠者，或者说诛者。Do
you remember the story about Keshi, the demon Keshi?
你们记得这个开心魔的这个故事吗？
Proud Keshi.
他是一个非常骄傲的恶魔。There's
a place in Vrindavan called Keshi Ghat.
那么在文达文有一个地方叫Keshi Ghat.
On the banks of the Yamuna.
这是在Yamuna岸边。Very
holy place.
那是一个圣地。So
Keshi was a harsh demon.
那么,
came in the form of a horse.
那么Keshi魔呢，它是以一个马的这个形体出现的。
Yeah, he came attacking Krishna.
那他就来袭击 Krishna.
Krishna had to kill him.
但是呢, Krishna 必须把他杀死。
So Prabhupada explains this name is significant because Krishna can kill the demons of doubt.
那么Prabhupada他就是说这个名字 Keshi魔 是非常重要的， 因为意味着 Krishna 他可以杀死我们疑惑的恶魔。
We will get doubts about what we're doing. Is this right? Should I do this? Is it right?
因为我们经常会对自己的行为产生疑问，不知道，不能确认行为正确与否。Sometimes
we wonder, is this right? I'm chanting this mantra all this time.
那有的时候我们会自己问自己说，我们一直的去这样念诵， 曼陀罗究竟是不是一件正确的事情。
Is this right? I'm mixing with these people who are practicing this belief of Krishna.
有的时候也会询问自己，和这些相信 Krishna 的人，这些相信灵修的人在一起，是否是一件正确的事？
Maybe I should go mix with other people, find some other company.
也许呢，我应该寻找一些其他的伙伴，和其他的人在一起。
Is this right? I'm vegetarian. I'm not taking this. I'm not eating that. I'm only eating certain foods.
我只吃素食，很多东西都不能吃，只吃其中一部分食物。这是否是一件正确的事情？
We get doubts about many different things.
所以呢，我们对很多事情都会产生疑惑。
But if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna can kill all the doubts.
但是呢，如果我们能够皈依 Krishna 的话， Krishna 他会杀死我们所有的被称为疑惑的恶魔。
We have to always take shelter of Krishna by remembering Krishna's holy name and his teaching.
所以呢，我们要一直通过唱诵主的圣名以及牢记他的训谕来托庇于他。
If we're remembering Krishna, then we don't have doubts.
如果我们能够铭记 Krishna 的话，我们就一无疑惑。
So, Krishna answers Arjuna's question.
所以 Krishna 他就回答了 Arjuna 的问题。
He explains the difference. He explains that giving up activities based on material desire is sannyas.
那么Krishna 他回答说，放弃所有基于物质欲望的活动就被称为 sannyas。
And tyaga or renunciation means giving up the results of all activities.
那么 tyag 或者说弃绝的意思，就是说要放弃一切活动的结果。
You can understand the distinction. Sannyas means giving up all material activities.
那么 sannyas 的意思呢，就是要放弃所有的物质世俗的活动。
Sannyas is.It's traditionally it's accepted by people as the last stage of life.
那么 sannyas 呢，就是从传统上来说，是那些在生命的阶段的最后一个时刻而接受的一个阶段。
And it's for people who have given up all material responsibilities.
而且呢，是对那些已经放弃了一切物质世俗职责的人而言的。
Prabhupada sometimes described sannyas means to be a living dead person.
那么帕巴他经常描述说，一个 sannyas 一个弃绝阶段的人，就好像是一个活着的死人一样。
He's living, but he's dead to the material world.
那就是说他虽然是活着，但是呢对这个物质世界来说他又是死亡的。
Means he has no material connection.
那个意思就是说他没有这种物质的联系。
His connection is only to spiritual activity.
他的连接只是和灵性的活动建立的。
So, in Vedic society, people would begin life as brahmachari, where they would practice student life of celibacy.
那么在这个伟达社会，就是很多人他的第一个生命阶段是叫 brahmachari, 也就是真守生或者说学生阶段。
And then most brahmacharis would get married and become grihasthas.
然后呢，这些真守生，这些 brahmachari,他们会结婚，那就进入了居士阶段，也就是 grihastha 阶段。
Then when they retire, then they become vanaprastha.
那么当他们退休之后，他们就会被称为 vanaprastha.
And then after vanaprastha, then they enter into sannyas.
那么经过了这个行脚僧，也就是 vanaprastha 之后，他们就进入了 sannyasi, 也就是托钵僧的阶段。
If you live a life of 100 years, then 25 years is spent in each ashram.
那么如果你能够活100岁的话，那么每25年就在这一个灵性的这个阶段。
Yeah, you're brahmachari up to 25.
也就是说，你的真守生呢，时间会延续到25岁。
Then You're married, then get, stay in married life until 50.
然后你结婚, yeah. 那么你的婚姻一直延续到50岁。
Then you're retired, and you practice retired life until 75.
然后你退休或者说退隐, 那么就, 然后接下去行脚僧的这个阶段就一直延续到75岁。
And then after 75, you can take sannyas.
然后在75岁的时候, 你就可以成为sannyasi.
And can go on. But some brahmacharis, they don't get married. Some brahmacharis, from they don't want to get married, they don't want to go into householder life, they go immediately to sannyas.
但是呢, 有一些遵守生或者 brahmachari, 他们是不结婚的, 他们直接就跳到了sannyasi, 托钵僧的阶段, 弃绝者阶段。
So that is a material understanding of sannyas.
这是对sannyasi的一个, 物质上的理解。
But there's another type of sannyas.
但是呢, 还有一类sannyas,
who can be in any position in society.
那这样的sannyasi, 弃绝者, 他可以
在这个社会的任何一个阶层。 Yeah, you can all be sannyasi.
你们大家都可以成为sannyasi.
If you give up all material activities.
也就是说你们能够放弃那些世俗的活动,
all your activities are simply dedicated for Krishna.
就是说你们让自己所有的生命中的活动都奉献给 Krishna.
Even you may be working in a job, you have a job, but because you're working in the consciousness that you're doing this job for Krishna, and you use your money that you earn in your job for spiritual activities, then that is sannyas.
那么即便你拥有一份工作, 如果你能够在工作的时候, 你的思想一直是, 聚集在 Krishna那里, 想着 Krishna, 或者说你把你工作的这个结果, 比如说你挣的钱, 拿来致力于灵性的活动, 那么也被称为sannyasi, 你们都是sannyasi.
You don't have any connection with the material world.
那么这样你就和这个物质世俗世界就没有了联系。
You're not thinking yourself to be the enjoyer.
因为你不是这样想的, 你不认为自己是这个物质世界的享受者。
But you simply think, I am a servant of Krishna.
你只是想着, 我是Krishna的仆人。
And you see everything in this world as Krishna's energy.
而且呢, 你会把这个物质世界的一切的能量都看成是 Krishna的能量。
And you use it for Krishna.
你可以把这些, 能量用来为 Krishna服务。
So renunciation means you do activities and then you give the result of your work for spiritual.
所以呢，所谓弃绝的意思就是你依然工作，依然从事这些活动。 但是呢, 你会把这个活动的结果为了 Krishna 奉献出来, 放弃物质的结果。
So Krishna is explaining these things to Arjuna.
所以呢, Krishna 就向 Arjuna 解释了这些问题。
Prabhupada in his purport, he explains something about how sometimes as a sannyasi, he would do certain things which may not appear to be spiritual.
那么, 在药旨当中, 帕帕也解释说, 有的从事的所谓的弃绝或者sannyasi的这些活动, 实际上是
material.
实际上却是物质的, 却是世俗的。
He says, for example, there are certain sacrifices in the second purport, verse 2, he said, there's a sentence halfway through. Mm-hmm. There are certain sacrifices to perform to attain a good son or to attain elevation to the higher planet.
那么在这个要旨的后面部分，就是解释到了有一些祭祀活动的目的，只是为了得到贵子，或者是转生到一个更高的星球。Yeah,
people may do these sacrifices. They want to go. They go to the temple and they pray for these things.
那么就是说，有些人他会做这些祭祀的这些仪式、这些活动，来到庙里，但是呢，目的实际上是为了一些。
This is a material desire.
这是一种被称为物质欲望的东西。
So a sannyasi can't do that.
所以呢, 因为sannyasi他也是可以这样做的。
If you're sannyasi, you can't do that.
如果你是一个托钵僧, 一个sannyasi, 你是可以做。
But you can do sacrifices for purification.
但是呢, 你应当从事那些 净化自我的祭祀活动。
You can do a sacrifice to be to get spiritual progress.
啊，那么你可以从事一些活动，目的是为了得到灵性的提升。
Just like we were worshiping Damodar for 1 month.
就好像呢，我们刚刚有一整个月都是在崇拜 Damodar。
We were offering our candles.
啊，我们会向 Damodar奉献敬献这个蜡烛。
We were praying that we can remember Krishna more.
那我们就是祈祷说我们能够更好的意念 Krishna。
You can do that kind of sacrifice.
你可以做这样的祭祀活动。
We do. You do. You can go to your Golden Mountain Park and chant Hare Krishna there on Sundays.
你可以在星期天的时候去景山唱诵。
Yeah, that is sacrifice.
这也是一种祭祀牺牲。
The Sankirtan Yajna.
这被称为 Sankirtan Yajna.
We do the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra for our purification of heart.
也就是说，我们去唱诵 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗，目的是为了净化我们的心灵。
Yeah, you're not chanting Hare Krishna thinking I will go to heaven.
你唱诵 Hare Krishna 的时候，不是抱着这样的心态，哦，我要去天堂。
Or I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I want to get good health.
或者是我唱诵 Hare Krishna 目的是为了得到健康。
Or I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I want to win a fortune.
或者呢，就是我唱诵 Hare Krishna 是为了得到一笔财富。
No, you just simply chant Hare Krishna.
不是这样的。
For Krishna's pleasure.
我们唱诵 Hare Krishna 就是为了取悦 Krishna。
And by doing that, we make spiritual progress.
那么通过这样去做呢，我们就在灵性上得到了提升。
We get rid of lust and envy and greed.
我们就可以去除我们内心中的贪婪、嫉妒、愤怒。
So that is the real sacrifice.
这是真正的祭祀牺牲。
Sannyasi can do that sacrifice.
Sannyasi 他可以做这样的祭祀牺牲。
In text 3, Prabhupada talks about how some people sacrifice animals.
那么在第三章当中讲到了，就是有的人他会拿动物来做祭祀牺牲。
So this kind of sacrifice, this is not good.
这种祭祀牺牲是不好的。
In the Vedas, there is some mention about animal sacrifice.
那么在伟大经当中也提到了这个动物祭祀。
That when you sacrifice, if you do a Vedic sacrifice, the animal should get a human birth or a new body, a renovated body after the sacrifice.
那么如果说你按照伟大的这个传统进行动物的祭祀牺牲的话，这个动物它会重新获得一个全新的形体。会得到提升。
Animal killing is in this age in Kali Yuga is prohibited.
那么在这个卡利年代，这个屠杀动物是被禁止的活动。
That is why Lord Buddha came.
这就是为什么佛陀他会来到这个世界上。
So, Lord Krishna is going to explain that there are three different types of sacrifices.
那么接下来。主 Krishna 他就解释了，祭祀活动分为三种。
Yeah, according to the three modes of nature.
也就是根据物质的三种不同的自然形态。
And he explains in text 5 that three activities should never be given up.
那么在第五章当中，第五个师节当中说到，有三种活动是绝对不能放弃的。
First of all, sacrifice and charity, and then tapasya austerity.
那就是说，首先是祭祀，然后是布施，然后是苦行，这三种活动绝对不能放弃。
These were explained in the three modes. They were all explained in the 17th chapter.
那么就是在这三种活动，其实在第十七章当中都已经有所解释。
So sacrifice, we cannot do any real sacrifice, any animal sacrifice or any real big fire sacrifice in this age.
那么在这个年代，我们是不可能再从事那些动物祭祀，或者说非常隆重、规模宏大的这些火祭了。
You need very qualified brahmanas who can chant the mantras perfectly.
因为要从事这样的活动，你必须要有 资深的非常有资格的婆罗门，他们能够去唱诵一些曼陀罗。
And even if you have brahmanas, we don't have the money to perform.
即便是有婆罗门在场，我们也没有这么多的金钱去支持这样的祭祀活动。
So we can't perform any sacrifice except for the sankirtan thing.
那么，所以呢，我们做的唯一的这个祭祀活动就是 sankirtan， 齐颂圣名。
And charity, that's usually that's for householder people.
那么这个布施呢，主要是对居士而言的。
And austerity, that is for the sannyasis in the old age.
那么苦行呢，就是那些 sannyasi 在年长的年老的时候做的。
So then in the purport, Prabhupada explains how there are different processes for advancing to help people advance in spiritual life.
那么在要旨当中，帕帕就解释了，为了帮助人们的灵性的提升，有一些活动是应当执行的。
And Prabhupada talks about marriage. He said marriage is good for people to help them advance.
而且呢，他也提到了婚姻，提到了婚姻，就是说婚姻对于一个人的进步来说也是非常重要的。
When Prabhupada went to America, he saw many young people.The young men and women were mixing together, but they were not married.
那么当帕帕来到西方世界的时候，他看到了很多年轻的男女，他们经常聚集在一起，但是呢，他们就没有结婚。
So Prabhupada would get them married.
所以呢，帕帕就安排他们结婚。
And Prabhupada himself would do the marriage ceremony.
而且呢，帕帕他亲自的主持婚礼。
Now, usually, sannyasi will not have anything to do with things like a marriage.
那一般来说 ，sannyasi 或者托钵生和是不太会通过这种方式做一些和婚姻、婚礼有关的事情。
But Prabhupada did it not for material purposes, but to help them advance.
那帕奥帕他并不是出于物质世俗的目的才这么去做的，他是为了帮助他们灵性上的进步。
Because he didn't want them to just simply remain.Like animals, just associating together without marriage.
那么帕帕他并不希望他们像动物那样生活，不结婚，但是呢，却像动物一样随便混在一起。
So, Prabhupada broke the regulation by sannyasis. Usually, won't do these fire sacrifices. He won't take part in any marriage. But for the sake of the advancement of the people, Prabhupada did it.
所以呢，帕奥帕他作为 sannyasi， 他的确是打破了这个原本的这个规则规范，因为一般来说 sannyasi 是不从事跟婚姻有关的事情。但是呢，他之所以这么做，是为了帮助这些奉献者的灵性的益处。
Okay, so for then.Lord Krishna goes on to explain text 7 the importance of acting in the mode of goodness.
那么接下来在这个世界 ，Krishna 就解释说，在这个善良形态当中行动的重要意义。
If you're going to do sacrifice, charity, or austerity, you must do it in the mode of goodness.
就是说，如果你要举行，你要从事祭祀，或者呢布施或者苦行这样的活动，你必须在善良形态中从事。
And Krishna describes in text 6 what should be the character of these activities? What should be the motive behind how they should do it?
那么在第六个世界当中 ，Krishna 就解释说这些活动的特征是什么。以及从事这些活动的动机是什么
they should be performed without attachment and without any expectation of result.
就是说你应当是不带任何依附的这种心态去从事的，而且不依附这个活动的结果。
And they should be done as a matter of duty.
而且呢，应当是出于一种责任去做这样的活动。
So,Usually in the material world, people always want some something in return for what they're doing.
那么一般来说，在这个物质世界里面，大家都有一种，就是说有，就是做了什么事情都非常希望有回报。
But this is yoga, karma yoga.
但是呢，这被称为 karma yoga, 业报瑜伽。
You working without, you work without getting anything in return.
也就是说，你是对这任何结果不带希求的这种心理去从事活动。
Just as a matter of, you do it as a matter of duty, without thinking, what will I get? What, how much you will pay me?
就是当你做这个活动的时候，你并不那么执着于活动的结果，你也不考虑你最后可以得到什么样的酬劳。
So when Prabhupada went to America, he recruited people to help him spread Krishna consciousness without paying them any salary.
所以呢，那个帕帕当他去美国的时候，他征集了很多的人，让他们去传播 Krishna 知觉活动，但是他并没有付给他们任何工资。
He didn't say, you come and work for me, I will pay you this much.
他没有说你来为我工作，那我就付你酬劳。
But he would give prasadam.
他不是这样的，但是他给予他们的是 prasadam.
He would give some simple, the devotees would get some simple cloth, the dhoti or the sari to wear.
那奉献者呢，还会得到一些非常简单的 sari 啊，或者 dhoti 啊，这些服装。
And then he would, they would have an ashram, they would have some floor to sleep on.
然后呢，有一个 ashram 就是这样一个奉献者住在一起的地方，然后他们就躺在地上，以地为床。
And in this way, the devotees live together to spread Krishna consciousness.
这样呢，奉献者们就居住在一起，共同的去传播 Krishna 知觉。
So because they lived in, because they made such a sacrifice, they made great spiritual advancement.
那么他们呢，因为做出了这样的牺牲，所以就在灵性上面获得了极大的收益和进步。
They were able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world.
他们在全世界都有能力去传播 Krishna 知觉。
And nobody ever complained that, you know, I'm not happy. I'm not.
而且没有人去抱怨说我不开心，我这样做。不乐意等等。
But people were all very satisfied by serving Krishna.
啊，那所有的人都因为去服务 Krishna， 而在内心中感到了全然的满足。
It is the nature of devotional service that a devotee is satisfied.
那奉献服务的原本的本质就是这样，就是说，当我们奉献者去从事的时候，他就会得到快乐，自然而然的。
Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakti Nishkam Sa Isha Shanta. That there are different types of spiritual paths, and all these people, one who is Bhakti, he wants material desires.
那么在这个永恒的 Chaitanya 经里面 Chaitanya Charitamrita 里面就是说到了人们会从事各种各样的活动，有的人是希求物质的世俗的得意。
Other people want liberation.
还有的人他想获得解脱。
Someone else wants mystic powers.
还有的人他想要一种玄秘的力量。
And other people just have some material desire.
还有一些人呢却充满着世俗的欲望。
None of these people are peaceful.
但是呢这些人都不平和。
But the devotee of Krishna, he's peaceful, but he has no material desire.
但是呢Krishna 的奉献者因为没有世俗物质的欲望，所以内心中自然感到平和快乐。
He just simply wants service to Krishna.
他的愿望只有一个，就是为 Krishna 服务。
And because he wants service, because he's simply engaged in Krishna's service, his soul is satisfied and his mind is peaceful.
啊，因为他只是为 Krishna 去服务，所以他的灵魂就得到了全然的满足，他的心意也得到了完全的平和。
Krishna goes on in text 7 to describe that prescribed duties, swadharma, should never be given up.
那么在这个第七个世界当中 ，Krishna 他说附定的职责 ，swadharma 是不在任何一个时刻都不可以放弃的。
If one gives up his duties because of illusion, such renunciation is the mode of ignorance.
就是说，如果一个人他是因为一种错觉而放弃了自己的附定职责。那么这种气绝就是在愚昧形态之中的。
So, one may think, cooking this is material, we should give this up.
那么有的人他可能会认为做饭是一件物质的事情，应当放弃。
Yes, if you just cook for your sense gratification, then you have to give that up.
的确是如此，如果你只是为了自己感官的满足和享受去烹调，那你的确应该放弃这样的活动。
But a devotee cooks and offers the food to Krishna.
但是呢，一位奉献者做饭，然后把食物供奉给了 Krishna。
The devotee will not give up cooking for Krishna.
所以呢，奉献者他是不会放弃为了 Krishna 的这种烹调活动。
Devotee, sometimes we are thinking, oh, so much trouble to raise my family.
那么有的奉献者他会认为，啊，要养家糊口真是一件太麻烦的事情。
We remember one man came to Prabhupada.
我记得有一个人他来见 Srila Prabhupada.
And he said to Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas.
他对 Prabhupada 他说，我想进入托钵僧的阶段 ，sannyasi 做个 sannyasi 弃绝者。
No, that's very good.
啊，这个想法非常好。
We want all the men to take sannyas.
我们希望男人们都做 sannyasi 弃绝者。
But they have to get ready. They have to be prepared.
但是呢，他们应当做好了充分的准备。
So Prabhupada was surprised. Usually people don't want to take sannyas.
那Prabhupada就感到非常的惊奇，因为大多数的人一般来说是不可能想做一个托钵僧或者弃绝者。
They would say no, no.
他们说不行不行。
Later, later.
等等等等，晚些吧，以后再说吧。
So Prabhupada, why you want to take sannyas?
那Prabhupada就问他说，你为什么想做个托钵僧呢？
He said, that's my wife.My four children.
他说：“哎呀，我的老婆，我的四个孩子，实在头疼。
”Free me from them.
啊，请让我解脱出来吧。
So, you know, of course, Prabhupada said, "Okay, you have to go home."
所以，然后当然，帕帕的回答是：“那你赶紧回家吧。
”Your service for Krishna is to bring up your wife, your four children, take care of your wife.
啊，他说你对 Krishna 的服务就应当很好的照顾你的妻子，好好的抚养你的四个孩子。
Yeah, we should not give up duty just because it's troublesome.
我们不要因为这个职责会给你带来很多的烦恼就轻易的放弃。
A devotee will accept all difficulties for the service of Krishna.
一位奉献者为了为 Krishna 服务，他愿意承担一切的麻烦，一切的困难。
And the more difficulties there areIn trying to serve Krishna, the more pleasure we get.
实际上，当我们为 Krishna 的这种服务的努力越多，我们就会得到越多的快乐。
Prabhupada was invited to go to Russia.
啊，有一次，帕鲁帕受邀去俄罗斯。
To Moscow.
去了莫斯科。
And at the same time, another invitation came to come to Hawaii.
啊，那么同时他又接受了另外一份邀请，邀请他去夏威夷。
And Hawaii, the devotee said, Prabhupada, it's just coming to mango season. And we know you like mangoes the most.
那么夏威夷的奉献者说，哦，你来的时候正好是芒果的季节，我们都知道Prabhupada你最喜欢吃芒果了。
So you should come to Hawaii. We will give you nice mangoes every day.
所以就对帕帕说，你赶紧来夏威夷吧，每天我们都会给你很多芒果吃。
And they say, if you go to Moscow, it's very cold. It will be snowing there.
他说，不过帕帕，要是你去莫斯科的话，天天都是冰天雪地的，你肯定都快冻死了。
But Prabhupada said, preaching Krishna consciousness in the snow of Moscow.Is sweeter than the sweetest mango.
那么帕帕帕就是说，如果在俄罗斯的莫斯科的这个冰天雪地当中去传播 Krishna 之觉，这种甜蜜远远的超越了最甜蜜的芒果。
So Prabhupada, you know, he accepted so much trouble to serve Krishna.
所以帕帕帕他为了去服务 Krishna, 他愿意承担一切的麻烦，一切的困难。
A devotee does not want an easy-going life.
一位奉献者他不想仅仅要一种非常简单的，要一种很容易的生活。
太轻松了。
太轻松了。
If it's too comfortable and no pressure, that is not good for our spiritual life.
如果这个生活太轻松，没有任何的压力，那么对这个灵性的成长是不利的。
But if you accept some difficulty for the service of Krishna, that is purifying.
如果呢，你为了服务 Krishna 去承担一些困难的话，那对我们来说是具有极大的净化力量。
So Arjuna, this is very relevant to Arjuna also.
所以呢，这一点对 Arjuna 来说也是非常适用的。
So prescribed duty should never be given up.
所以呢，附定的职责在任何一个时刻都不能放弃。
Krishna explains this point in text 8.
那么 ，Krishna 就在第八个世界当中解释了这个要点。
Anyone who gives up prescribed duty as troublesome.Or out of fear of bodily discomfort, is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation.
就是说，如果一个人害怕麻烦或者害怕身体上的不适而放弃附定的职责，那么就是处于情欲形态中的气绝。这样的举动永远不会导向气绝的升华。
Prabhupada talks about if we are earning money, we shouldn't give up earning money, which can be used in Krishna's service.
那帕帕他说，如果我们在挣钱，那么我们就不应当放弃这个活动，因为我们可以把这个得到的这个钱用来为 Krishna 服务。
Yeah, the one devotee was working, and at that time, the devotee wanted to give up his job and become full time in the temple.Prabhupada said, "No, no, you keep working."
那么有一次呢，那一奉献者就说：“我不想工作了，我想住到庙里来做一个就是全职的奉献者。”Prabhupada说：“不不不，你还是应当继续工作。”
He said, "Your money, you're earning the money to pay the rent for our place."
他说：“你可以挣钱，然后我们可以拿这个钱来付我们的房租。
He said, "We can't have this nice place to stay unless you work."
除非你工作，否则我们就没有一个这么好的地方住。
So, but there were one time, Prabhupada said the devotees were not doing anything. Prabhupada said all the devotees should get jobs.
那么还有一次呢，就是奉献者们就是有些无所事事，所以帕帕就说每一个奉献者都应当找一份工作。
But Prabhupada heard they were all working in a cigarette factory.
然后有后来，帕帕听说他们都在烟厂工作。
Prabhupada said, "Get out of there immediately!"
不行，赶紧给我出去。
So, devotee, if you work, the environment should not be in the mode of ignorance.
所以呢，奉献者的工作环境不应当是在愚昧形态中的。
And Prabhupada also speaks about rising up early in the morning, waking up early in the morning, certainly in the winter time now it's very cold, no heating, it's trouble.
那帕帕还说到了就是早起的这个问题，清晨早起，那现在是冬天，天气也非常的冷，所以早起就变得是一件非常困难的事情。
But you should not give it up just because it's troublesome.
不要因为这个早起的事情是非常麻烦的，所以就放弃这个活动。
It's good for spiritual advancement. Wake up early.
因为每天清晨能够早早的醒来，对灵性的帮助是很大的。
So if we give up these things because it's trouble, that is a mode of passion.
那如果说我们因为这些活动非常的麻烦，所以就轻易的放弃，这就被称为情欲形态。
And Krishna has explained the result of working in the mode of passion will be you will be miserable.
那么 Krishna 他说，如果你是在情欲形态当中去从事活动，从事这种所谓的气绝，那么这个结果就是非常悲惨。
So the next time you are miserable, you can just think, maybe you were working in the mode of passion.
那么下一次，如果你觉得你自己内心是觉得非常悲苦不堪的，你就知道你肯定是在情欲形态中工作了。放弃。
You have to change. You have to get out of the mode of passion and come to the mode of goodness.
所以呢，你必须要从情欲形态当中摆脱出来，而上升到一个善良形态。
You have to become steady in your service. Don't give up work just because it's trouble.
你必须要稳处于你的工作之中，不要因为这个工作给你带来了麻烦就放弃。
And then Krishna, in the next verse, Krishna explains that renunciation in the mode of goodness.
那么下一个世界里面, Krishna 就解释了在善良形态中的弃绝。
One who performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is in the mode of goodness.
就是说只因为应该履行而履行个人的附定职责弃绝所有物质的联系以及对结果的所有执着这样的弃绝可谓是在善良形态之中。
A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the fruit, with the work of the factory, nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. And when he gives up the result for Krishna, he is acting transcendentally.
就是说，一个人当他以Krishna之觉在工厂中工作。 那么他这个人是跟工厂的工作是没有任何联系的，与工厂的工人也没有联系，他只是在为Krishna工作。当他为Krishna放弃结果的时候，他的一举一动都是超然的。May
appear the person has just got an ordinary job working in some factory.
那么看起来好像有的人的工作非常的平凡，可能就是在一个工厂里面当一个工人。
But they can be the greatest transcendentalists. Krishna consciousness is not understood just simply by the activity, but by the consciousness in which one works.
It's not
simply one's dress which makes one a spiritual person. Just as the spiritual master is not recognized by simply the fact that he has no money. Well, some people think that the guru is somebody who cannot be a rich person, he must be poor.
那有的人以为guru或者灵性导师肯定是一贫如洗，应当是没有任何财富的一个人。
And if he's very rich, he cannot be a real guru.
然后有的人以为如果一个人很有钱，很富裕，他就不可能是一个guru，一个灵性导师。
You cannot recognize people just by material.
你不能通过物质的这个性质去判断一个人的高低。
But we have to see what is their behavior.
我们应当去观察他的行动。
What are they speaking about?
他们说的是什么话？
The same way, devotee must be speaking conscious of Krishna.
同样呢，奉献者他也应当经常去知觉Krishna，在这样的知觉当中讲话。
Tell people about Krishna.
帮助别的人 Krishna 知觉。
Lord Chaitanya was in South India. He was invited to a Brahmana's home to take his food.
那么有一次主Chaitanya在南印度巡游，那么他就接受了一位居士的邀请去他家荣耀 Prasada.
And then the Brahmana brought Lord Chaitanya to his home and fed him and took very nice care of him.
那这个婆罗门就邀请了主Chaitanya到他的家里，很好的照顾了他。
And then when Lord Chaitanya was ready to go, then the Brahmana pleaded to Lord Chaitanya.
那么当主Chaitanya要起身离开的时候，婆罗门就苦苦地恳求他。
He said, I'm in a helpless condition in the ocean of material existence.
他就对主Chaitanya说，我呢就身处在物质的这个海洋之中，世俗海洋当中，非常的孤苦无助。
Please free me from this material entanglement of family and home.
他说，请你呢帮助我从这个物质世俗家庭的 捆绑当中解脱出来。
Let me travel with you.
让我随你同行吧。
And Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't speak like that again."
钱太良他说，你再也别这么说了。
He said, "Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna."
他说，无论你去到哪里，无论你遇到哪里，告诉他们有关 Krishna 的一切。
In this way, you will always have my association.
这样呢，你如果能这样做的话，你就一直和我一起联谊。
I will never leave you.
我永远都不会离开你。
So Lord Chaitanya was giving very important instruction there.
所以呢，在这里主且贪婪他就给了非常重要的训示。
We should not try to abruptly change our situation.
就是我们不要突然的去改变自己的生活状况。
You have to move gradually, step by step.
我们应当循序渐进，一步一步的去做。
We must take up Krishna consciousness in a progressive manner.
我们应当以一种循序渐进的方法来接受 Krishna 知觉，在其中进步。
We encourage everyone come and hear about Krishna.
我们要鼓励所有的人来到这里去聆听有关 Krishna 的话题。
And learn how you can become Krishna conscious.
然后呢，去学习如何获得 Krishna 知觉。
In text 10, Lord Krishna describes how an intelligent person will renounce.
那么在第十个十节当中 Krishna 就解释说一个睿智的人他如何做到弃绝
He is not hateful of inauspicious work nor is he attached to auspicious work
就这样的人他既不厌憎不祥的工作也不执着于吉祥的工作
And the purport Prabhupada writes he does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body
那么帕奥帕在要旨当中解释说这样的人他对能会给他的身体带来麻烦的人或事没有任何厌憎之心
Just like there was one great devotee who Lord Chaitanya met he was a leper he's the leper named Vasudev
那么就是Krishna 他是就是主且贪婪他曾经遇到了一个奉献者他的名字呢叫Vasudev
and he had leprosy
他就是有这个就麻风病身上得了麻风病
so there were germs eating his body
所以呢就是这些小虫子就在啃咬他的食物
yeah.
他的身体吃他的肉
but Vasudev he accepted even if one of them would fall out from his body he would pick it up and put it back
那么这个 Vasudev 呢他看到这个小虫子掉到地上之后他又把这个虫子捡起来放到他的身体上让他去吃他的肉
he thought they have come here to live in my body I should not disturb them
那这个 Vasudev 就说他来到我的这里在我的身上以我为生那我不应当打扰他应该让他活下去
he had that consciousness
他就有这样的一种知觉
Of course, he met Lord Chaitanya.
当然了，他就遇到了主 Chaitanya.
And Lord Chaitanya, just simply by embracing him, cured all his disease.
那主 Chaitanya 就紧紧地拥抱了他，于是就完全治愈了他的麻风病。
But then Vasudeva lamented that, oh, now it will be very easy for me to get into Maya.
那么然后呢，Vasudeva 他就想，哦，现在我可能会轻易地落入 Maya 的怀抱了。
But now I don't have any disease. Now I have this healthy body. I can be attracted to material enjoyment.
这就说我现在呢，身体完全恢复了健康，有这么一个健全的身体，那我也许会被这个物质世俗的事物所吸引。
And I'll become proud of this body.
而且我还会以我自己的身体为傲。
So Lord Chaitanya told him, "So you must always chant the holy name of Krishna, and you have to teach people."
那么主且贪婪就对他说你应当恒常不断地去唱诵主 Krishna 的圣名并且呢教导人们有关 Krishna 的知觉
And this will keep you humble.
这样呢就可以让你永远地处在非常谦卑的心态之中
So this is how we can keep the mode of goodness.
所以呢这就是我们保持善良形态的方式
If we're always chanting telling people about Krishna
如果我们一直不断的在唱诵圣名，然后和别的人在一起讨论有关 Krishna 的一切的时候，
In text 11 Krishna is describing more about the nature of work, that it's very, you can't give up, we can't stop working, but we can give up the fruit of work.
那么在这个第十一章第十一个时节当中说到，任何一个人都不可能说放弃工作，但是呢可以把活动的结果弃绝。
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, no one can be idle, not even for a moment.
那么在《维吉亚梵歌》里面 Krishna 他说没有一个人可以无所事事，就是哪怕是一秒钟都不可能。
How long can you just sit and do nothing?
你如果说什么事情都不做，只是静坐在那里，你可以坚持多久呢？
Oh, you can, maybe one day or maybe 2 days.
可能一天，可能两天。
But even in that one day, you're going to want to eat. You're going to want to do things.
但是就是在这一天当中，你也得吃东西，你还有很多事情想做的。
We cannot be idle, totally idle. We have to do things.
所以呢，我们是不可能完全的无所事事的，我们总是得做一些事情。
And when we act under the modes of nature.
那么当我们去行动的时候，我们肯定会在这个自然形态的状态中去行动。
And this brings karma.
那么当我们这样去从事活动的时候，就会有业报。
And karma keeps us in the material world, causes us to take another body.
因为业报，那么业报呢，就会把我们束缚在物质世界当中，因为有了业报的活动，我们会获得另外一个物质躯体。
So here, Krishna says, give up the results of your work.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就在这里说，你应当放弃你的工作的结果。
You can't give up work, so give up the results of your work.
你不能放弃工作，但是你可以把工作的结果弃绝。
We should give them up for Krishna.
我们应当为了 Krishna 而放弃这些工作的结果。
Work for Krishna.
你应当为 Krishna 去工作。
And in this way, there's no reaction.
这样呢，你就不会有反应。
When you give up the results of work, there's no karma.
那么当你把这个工作的结果放弃的时候，就不会业报缠身了。
You're working for Krishna.
因为你在为 Krishna 服务工作。
Just like Yamaraj told his servants, the Yamadutas, bring to me all the sinful people.
那么就好像是阎罗王或者 Yamaraj 对他的这些随从 Yamaduta 手下说，你把那些罪恶的人都带到我的面前来。
And they have to go to Yamaraj, and he will put them in different types of hell.
那么这些罪恶的人来到 Yamaraj 的面前，他就把他们置于不同的地狱之中。
But Yamaraj told his servants, "Don't bring any of those devotees."
那 Yamaraj 就对他的仆人说，不要把任何一个奉献者带到这里来。
Don't go near. Don't even go near any of those people who chant the holy name of the Lord.
他说，你甚至都不应当去接近那些唱诵主的圣名的人。
But bring me all those other people.
你把其他的人，把那些从来都不唱诵的人带到我这儿来。
The devotee does not have to fear material existence.
所以呢，奉献者他是不用去惧怕物质的存在的。
Because the devotee, by nature, we're using everything for Krishna in Krishna's service.
因为奉献者呢，就是天性上就愿意把一切用来为 Krishna 做服务。
The results are given for Krishna.
而所有的一切活动的结果都是为了 Krishna 的。
But if we're trying to enjoy the results, then you have to suffer the karma.
但是呢，如果你想要去享受你的活动或者工作的这个结果，你就不得不因为业报而深受痛苦。
The Mayavadi sannyasis, they give up work.
那么 Mayavadi sannyasis 就是那些非人格的假象中的那些 sannyasi， 他们说应当弃绝工作。
They reject everything. This is all Maya.
他们排斥了一切，他们说这些都是 Maya， 都是假象，都是幻象。
They think they have become God.
他们以为自己已经成神了。
This is the biggest material desire.
这是最大的物质欲望。
Mayavadis want to become one with the Supreme.
那么 Mayavadi 这些假象中的人士，他们是想跟 Krishna 和神合而为一。
So that is the greatest material desire.
这是最大最大的物质欲望了。
But a devotee wants to, a devotee does not reject the world. A devotee makes the material world spiritual.
那么这个奉献者他是不排斥物质世界的，他只是想把物质世界转换成灵性的。
Yeah. A devotee, some people, some Mayavadi, they reject money, they won't touch money.
有一些这些假象宗的非人格主义者，他们是不去触碰金钱的。
But the devotee will take the money and use it for Krishna.
但是呢，奉献者却可以接受这个金钱，并且用来为 Krishna 做服务。
The Mayavadis reject.
但是 Mayavadi 却会去排斥。拒绝金钱。
Saying it's all Maya,
他们说这都是，它都是假象，都是错觉。
But the devotee will take everything of this world and use it in Krishna's service, and this way it's spiritualized.
但是呢，奉献者却会接受这个物质世界中的很多事物，并且拿来为 Krishna 做服务。
Just like a soldier may be fighting for his country.
就好像一个士兵为国而战。
He may kill people.
他可能会杀人。
But he's considered a hero. He gets medal.
但是呢，他还是一位英雄，他也获得了奖章。
But if the same person comes back and goes out with his friends and fights with some other young man, kills someone, then he will go to jail.
但是呢，如果一个人他回了家，然后他就跟他的朋友或者跟他周围的人，就是打仗，然后呢杀死了他们，他肯定就会被投到监狱里去了。
So, working for Krishna means you do not suffer the result. You do not enjoy the results, but you don't get any karma.
所以呢，这个为了 Krishna 工作的话，就能够确保你免除这个业报的这个困扰，你也不会去享受这个工作的结果。
And then text 12, Krishna says, "For one who is not renounced, what happens?"
那么在这个第十二个世界当中就讲到了，对于那些非弃绝者，他们会遇上什么样的结果
？But then he explains those who are in the renounced order of life have no such results to suffer or enjoy.
那么在这个就说到了真正的弃绝者，在他的生活当中就不可能为此而感到痛苦，也不用去享受。
So in this way, Krishna is explaining the first section of the Bhagavad Gita after the nature of Karma Yoga, as it's explained in the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita.
所以呢，到目前为止 ，Krishna 其实就解释了《薄伽梵歌》第一章到第六章的概要。
Are there any questions?
是否有问题呢
？We've been talking about the difference between sannyasa.Renunciation of activities and tiaga, which is renunciation of the results of activity.
那么我们刚才呢，就是讨论的是 sannyas， 就是弃绝活动的结果，弃绝活动以及 tiag 弃绝活动的结果之间的区别。
The thought of renunciation is often not appealing, not attractive to people. They think this is not very nice.
有很多人呢，就是说认为弃绝这种想法肯定对任何人都没有任何吸引力的，觉得这是一个不好的事情。
If we look in the shop windows or in the newspaper advertisements, they just speak about passion and lust and, you know, just encourage.Material design.
如果我们看看这个商店的橱窗，或者听听新闻、看看报纸，我们就会发现，到处都在激发某人的激情和他的贪婪，这种拥有。
And this is taking people into the mode of ignorance.
但是实际上呢，这样的这种激发，实际上是把人置于了愚昧形态之中。
And from the mode of passion and ignorance, it is simply misery and madness.
那如果说你只是处在这个情欲形态、激情形态或者是愚昧形态中，最后的结果肯定是非常悲苦或者是疯狂的。
But by cultivating the mode of goodness, by coming, by pulling yourself out of passion and ignorance, we can come up to the mode of goodness and then transcend to pure devotional service.
但是呢，如果你能够摆脱情欲形态和愚昧形态，上升到善良形态，那么你甚至可以超越善良形态，最后达到纯粹的善良形态。
Krishna is trying to train us to recognize when are we being influenced by passion and ignorance.
那实际上呢，Krishna他在训练我们，告诉我们什么时候是在这个情欲形态和愚昧形态的控制之中的。
We want to bring ourselves into the mode of goodness.
因为我们想让自己升华到善良形态之中。
We have to learn how to work in the mode of goodness.
我们必须要学会如何在善良形态中工作。
We should work as a matter of duty and for the pleasure of the Supreme.
我们应当出于一种责任感，出于职责去工作，并且为了取悦至尊者而工作。
Now you may say, my friend,
你可以,
you may say, I'm retired, I'm not working.
也许我的朋友，你会说。 我已经退休了，我没有什么工作需要去做。
But you cannot stop work.
但是呢，你却不能停止工作。
You still have to eat, you still do things.
你还必须吃东吃饭，你还得做很多的事情。
You may have given up some job.
你可能还得放弃一些工作。
But you cannot give up your spiritual duties.
你可以放弃你的工作，但是你却不能放弃你灵性的职责。
Chanting,
唱诵啊，念诵,
studying the scriptures,
学习经典,
associating with devotees,
和奉献者联谊,
these are our prescribed duties.
这都是我们的附定的职责。
And by doing these activities, then you keep your life at least in the mode of goodness.
那么通过从事这些活动, 至少你可以让你的生活处在善良形态之中。
And it becomes easy to transcend to the pure goodness.
这样呢，对你来说。 能够获得超然，到达纯粹的善良形态，就变得更加容易了。Any
question?
有没有问题呢？ When chant while meditating on the forearm form, is that called samadhi?
When we chant, you should try to concentrate on hearing.
当你在念诵的时候，你应当专注于聆听。
You can look at the picture of Krishna or the deity, you can look at the altar, but you want to concentrate your attention on hearing.
你可以在目光，你可以看，就是看这个神像或者是神坛，但是呢，你的这个知觉应当专注于聆听。
You're talking about meditating on Krishna's form, but that's another process. Our process is to hear and chant.
我们的程序呢，是去唱诵和聆听。
You have to use the ear to hear, the tongue to chant.
你应当用你的耳朵去聆听，用你的舌头去念诵。
And just try to concentrate on hearing the sound of the mantra.
而且呢，全神贯注于。 曼陀罗的音阵。
You don't need to try to meditate on the form of Krishna.
你不需要去冥想 Krishna的形体。
You can look, of course, you can be looking. It's nice to see the form of Krishna.
当然你可以去看 Krishna优美的形体。
But the important thing is to concentrate on hearing and chanting.
但是呢，最重要的事情就是。 你应当专注于聆听和唱诵。
You have to chant clearly. You have to pronounce the mantra properly.
你应当非常清晰地去念诵，应当把曼陀罗中的每一个字都发得非常清晰。
focus on that holy name of Krishna, and then naturally you will remember Krishna.
当你专注的专注于 Krishna 的圣名的时候，很自然你就能够记住 Krishna.
Krishna is in His name.
Krishna 就在他的名圣名之中。
The holy name is not different from the form of Krishna.
圣名和 Krishna 的形体是没有任何区别的。
Your meditation should be on the sound vibration.
所以呢，你的冥想应当是集中在音振之上。
And in this way, this is a process for this age.
这是这个年代的程序。
In Satya Yuga, when people lived for 100,000 years, they could meditate on the form of Krishna.
那么在三坦年代的时候，那个时候的人的寿命有十万年，所以他们是可以去冥想。Krishna 的形体的
But it takes very long time to progress.
但是呢，要达到要获得这种正果，可能是需要漫长的年代。
Our mind is very flickering and unsteady.
我们的心意呢，总是飘忽不定的，永远呢都稳定不下来。
Arjuna said his mind was more restless than the wind.
那么 Arjuna 他说。控制心意比控制风还难。
He could not fix his mind on the form of Krishna.
他的这个心意都无法集中在 Krishna 的形体之上。
Krishna encouraged him to work.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就鼓励他去工作。
To do his service for him.
为 Krishna 做服务。
谢谢老师。老师，我再问一下，是那个唱，就是念诵的时候是那种。有时候是，比如说抱着一种思念 Krishna 那种感觉，就是念的话，就是我那天念的时候，我就抱着那个很想念 Krishna， 然后念的时候就会流很多很多眼泪，然后有时呢就是很开心的，就是这样去念的话，就这两天我就是这样，刚开始是那种感觉，但是流好多眼泪。
你觉得是你的问题是？这样合不合适？
对对，合不合适？我觉得应该是以什么样一个心情去在
念诵。What kind of mood should one have when doing one's japa chanting?
What
kind of mood? Or it's a kind of missing Krishna? Or
well, we should Prabhupada explain the mood should be just like a child separated from their parents.
那帕巴解释说，一个人就应当是好像和自己的父母分离的孩子一样。
You know, we can chant the holy name in the mood that we're a young child, a child separated from our parents.
就好像是和一个父母失散的一个孩子一样。
Prabhupada gave us that example. He said, "You can chant in this mood. In this way, we'll increase our attachment, our affect, our love for the Lord."
那帕尔帕就是说，一个人他就应当以这样的一种心态去念诵，这样的话他就会培养出对 Krishna 的这种依恋、依附以及对 Krishna 的爱。
Tears coming from the eyes is that's nice, you know. You have we can that it can be that can be could be some type of.It's a manifestation of some attachment for Krishna.
那泪水是非常美妙的，也可以表现出对 Krishna 的某一种依恋。
But continue chanting.
但是呢，与此同时，你要继续不断的去念诵。
Yeah, you have to go on from the tears from the eyes are only some preliminary stage. You have to go on and develop pure love.
因为这种热泪盈眶实际上也仅仅是一个非常基础的阶段一个初级的阶段你应当要继续下去直到对 Krishna 获得真正的这种爱
谢谢我有一个问题就是也是关于这个念诵圣名的问题是有的时候我没事儿的时候比如说上瑜伽课的时候或者是走在路上的时候，我心里面就会默念这个曼陀罗。那么不知道这样做是不是对的？
默念。
默念就是
三曼陀
罗。
对对对对，这是一个问题。然后另外还有一个就是，有的时候我觉得，比如说我昨天在沈阳那个工作的那个糖尿病人，那我觉得他很可怜，就我不知道他到底怎么办。那有时候，如果要是我要是 心里想着他的话，是不是会给他带来好运呢？
心想他。
Yeah, of course, if they get the blessing, if a sick person gets your blessings, it can certainly be helpful for them.
当然了，如果一个病人能够得到你的这个祝福的话，一定给他的帮助是很大的。
Of course, you could do better things to help them than just think of them.
啊，但是呢，除了就是想念他之外，你肯定可以有更好的帮助他的方法。
You could directly tell them the Maha Mantra.
你可以直接的告诉他曼陀罗。
我知道，但是问题是因为就是我这个工作，就像说接触的也就很，就是
一次性
的做完就没有了。那另外还有一个就是，跟他说这个曼陀罗还挺费劲，他如果他是不接受的。
Doesn't matter. You give them the chance to hear. Let them hear the holy name, whether they accept it or not. Your duty is to chant the name into their ear.
不管就是他们接受与否。你可以让他聆听，给他有这样的这种机会，啊，这也是你的职责。
And it's beneficial for them.
而且对他们来说是非常有益的。
You don't have to think if they'll accept or not.
你们呢不用去想对方究竟是接受与否。
You just have to do your duty.
只需要做好你的职责就可以了。
Your duty is to tell them about Krishna.
你的职责就是告诉他们 Krishna.
To give them the holy name.
把圣名带给他们。
Yeah, many people will not accept.
很多人是不会接受的。
But you shouldn't be thinking, oh, maybe they won't accept, so I won't tell them.
但是呢，你不用那么想啊，也许他们接受不了，所以我就不告诉他了。
You have to tell them.
你应当告诉他。
那比如说，就是这个啊，他说是呢，这些音乐歌很美妙，然后我把这些这个网上的这个链接发给人家。
也很好啊 you can do that. Let them hear.
让他们去聆听吧。
Yeah, you can do that when you go to these places, take some discs with you, copy some music or something and give them.
对，当你去见你的工作的伙伴的时候，你可以拷一些光碟，有这些音乐，然后带给他们，让他们去聆听。
Tell them this music will be therapeutic, it will be healing for them to hear.
告诉他们说这是有一定的治疗和这种帮助的效果，你们可以去聆听。
And silent chanting, sometimes you know you're in your yoga class and like that, you do silent chanting. Okay, it's all right if you can do it. It's not easy to do silent chanting. It's not recommended.
在你这个上瑜伽课的时候，你默念这个曼陀罗也是非常好的，不过呢是不太容易的，而且呢默念也不是我们特别鼓励的。
Because our mind is not steady.
因为我们的心意啊是飘忽不定的。
You know, how many mantras will you chant in your mind?
那在你的心意当中，这种默念究竟能坚持多久呢？
Yeah. 您这说的就能坚持多久，确实是一会儿在脑子里边飘过来，一会儿飘过去，一会儿飘过来，但是真的在脑子里飘啊。
The mantra is constantly floating in my mind, although it comes and goes.
So if you chant out loud, it will be more constant.
所以你如果你能够大声去唱诵或者念诵的话，那就停留的更久。Chanting is extra. Usually she would chant 12 rounds.
You're still sharp. Hai cha yi dian na. Up to you.
这是根据你的情况。
Some people chant faster. There are no rules in chanting.
就是取决于你自己。有的人念得快，有的人念得慢，而且念诵也没有一种非常固定的硬性的规则。
Prabhupada heard one lady was staying in the temple, and Prabhupada said, "What service is this lady to?"
那有一位女士在庙里面，然后帕帕就问说：“这位女士她做的是什么服务呢？”
And the devotee said, "Oh, Prabhupada, she doesn't do anything. She's just chanting all day."
然后奉献者就说：“啊，这位女士一天什么都不干，就是念诵个不停。
They said it takes her the whole day to chant 16 rounds.
然后他们说她这个念诵完十六圈得花一整天的时间。
Prabhupada said, "No, no." He said she has to do something.
帕帕他说不行不行，他应当去做一些具体的服务。我们不想让人一天早晚的一刻不停的去念诵，什么事都不干。
But the chanting should not be so fast, you know, that you do 16 rounds in half an hour.
但是念诵也不能太快，半小时就念完十六圈。
You have to chant properly. You have to chant clearly.
你应当以一种正确的方式去念诵，而且念诵得非常的清晰。
Should take you at least 2 hours.
至少那得要两个小时才能念完十六。
About 2 hours.
大概是两个小时吧。
Yeah. That's quick. Some people chant quick.
有的人念得很快。
Well, Haridas Thakur, somehow he was chanting 192 rounds every day.
那么 Haridas Thakur, 他一天呢要念192圈。
You know, just think how much time takes to chant one round if you chant 100, and he was only sleeping 2 hours a day.
那他一天才睡两个小时，你就可以算一下他念一圈要多长时间。
Of course, we cannot chant so many rounds.
当然，那么我们是不可能念诵那么多圈。
Prabhupada told us to chant at least 16.
Prabhupada 他教导我们说，至少要念诵十六圈。
Just to get people to chant 16 rounds today is difficult.
即便是让任何一个人去一天念诵十六圈，都不是一件容易的事情。
But Prabhupada would not compromise on that.
但是呢 ，Prabhupada 他是不做出任何妥协的，在这一点上。
One time in Hawaii, some professional tennis coaches came to Prabhupada.
那么有一次呢，在夏威夷有一位这个职业网球教练来见释迦牟尼佛。
Yeah, they were very quite famous people, very famous tennis coaches.
这确实是非常著名的网球教练啊。
And they were chanting Hare Krishna.
而且呢，他们也在唱诵 Hare Krishna。
And they told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you know, we're very busy with our work. It takes a lot of time. We have to do a lot of training and teaching. Said, we don't have time to chant 16 rounds, but we chant 8 rounds. So can we get initiation?
那么他们就对 Prabhupada 说，哎呀，我们真的是非常的忙，天天要就是教课呀，然后忙的都没有什么时间。我们念不了16圈，我们就念8圈。不过我们能不能接受启迪呢？
Prabhupada, no, he said, you first chant 16 rounds.
那 Prabhupada 说不行，现在不能接受启迪，首先你得完成你的十六圈。
嗯，
十六
圈要练多久呢？
大约两个小时。
不是，我说练多久才能见老师？
哦、How long can we chant 16 rounds before 启迪是吧？
嗯。
Before taking our initiation.
You have to after, taking a shelter of, after approaching a spiritual master, then he will ask you to chant for a year.
当你就是来到一位灵性导师跟前，并且向他提出这个问题的时候，他会告诉你，你得念诵一年十六圈。
And before you take shelter, you should be chanting.
然后呢，在你就是托庇于一位灵性导师之前，你就应当开始唱诵了，念诵。
Yeah. And you shouldn't think, oh, after I get initiation, I'm going to stop.
然后你别那么想，既然启迪了，万事大吉，从此就不用念诵了。
I got initiation already. I don't need to chant.
对啊，别认为我已经启迪了，所以现在再也不用念诵了。
The idea is, once you start to chant, you'll get a taste for the chanting. You will not want to stop.
这个关键的一点就是在于，其实当你去唱诵的时候，你已经获得了一种品味。有了这种品味之后，你就不想停下来了，你就会坚持下去。
Mm, that must be perfect.
我想问有两个问题。一个是呢，就是我们在外头唱诵，不讲一些知识和哲学，算不算传教？是什么？那个其他人通过路过这儿听到了，他们是不是风向不开始？
是。
第二个问题是什么？
第二个问题吗？ If people pass by and hearing the chanting, is that a commencement of their devotional service?
Well, yeah, certainly it is service. If you're chanting the holy name, not preaching, that is also preaching.
当然了，你在唱诵，虽然没有向别人讲述哲学，这也是一种传教。
I've seen people become devotees. They just meet people chanting and they become devotees, and they join the chanting and they never go away.
我也曾经见到过很多人，他们只是聆听到了唱诵，加入了这个唱诵的行列，然后就再也不离开了，就成了奉献者。
And the people who hear the chanting is at the beginning of the devotional service.That is certainly connection.
那么对于那些聆听到了唱诵然后就是对他们来说当然是有一种连接的，就是他们其实奉献服务已经开始了。
Yeah, you're putting some seeds in the heart.
因为你已经把种子播到了他们的心里。
But it takes somebody to come along and water these seeds.
但是呢，还得有人去继续。给这个种子浇水，让它发芽成长。
If you just simply put some seeds in the ground and you don't water them, you don't take care of them, then they won't grow up.
如果是你虽然播了这个种子，但是你不浇水、不施肥，那么什么也长不出来。
从灵魂这个角度来讲，他现在种下的种子不一定是在这一生发芽，可能他在一万年，可能在一百年。
Yeah.
如果是这样的话，我们是做一个普遍的一个传销播种，是不是？
Yeah, we don't know when the seeds will come up. You put some seeds there, and they may take a long time.
因为我们的确不知道播种之后的小苗什么时候能长出来。
And some seeds may not even come up.
可能有的种子根本就不能发芽。
So that's why you know what you put the seeds there. You know you want to try to take care of them.
所以呢，这就是为什么你播了种之后，你还是会非常努力的去照顾这些种子。
You know, if you can give them some contact with devotees, some other place.
如果你能够给他们一些奉献者的联系方式啊，告诉他们一些地方啊。
If we can give them some literature.
或者呢，给他们一些书籍。
Then it's even better.
那就更好一些了。
But certainly giving the holy name is preaching.
当然了，给予圣名本身就已经是传教了。
Prabhupada wanted that to go on.
Prabhupada 他希望这个活动能持续不断地进行下去。
你这里有很多人要磁带和要书，但是我们只能是悄悄地给他，
Yeah, I know in China it's limited what you can do. You're certainly, it's very nice you're doing the chanting.
我知道在中国的条件的确是有限的，能够去唱诵去传播这个圣名本身就很好。
In London, they have Harinam, the devotees go on the street chanting every day.
那么在伦敦呢，他们有这个 Harinam 唱诵圣名的这个街头唱诵圣名，每天都进行。
And they go summer and winter.
无论是夏天还是冬天，他们每天都会去。
And sometimes it's just a couple of devotees.
有的时候可能也就是两三个奉献者而已。
But you know they keep it going.
但是他们一直坚持，坚持，一直坚持到今天。
And people get affected.
而人们呢，也就获得了很好的影响。
There's always people looking for devotees.
总会有人在寻找奉献者。
一般的我请了书，然后就给了这个别人了，别人的拿走都也不还我，也找不着人了，怎么办？
To give books to people. What?
Yeah, but they never return the book and nowhere to find.
Well, anyway, it's good. You give out the books. Keep giving out the books.
给书是非常好的，继续可以给他们书。
You don't want them to give the books back to you?
你不要期待他们把书还你。Do not want.
She doesn't want the book back.
书给他们就给他们了，别想着再还。
我没想着还，就是意思就是再等的话，他就也没消息，他也不。肉肉嘟嘟的你，他也不说，他也不说不绝，他就那么不迫切。
Try to contact them again, and they are not so anxious. And
anyway, you give the books out. You're doing your duty. Keep giving out the books.
那这是你的职责，你只要把书给他们就行了，继续给其他人书。
You can sell the books to them.
你可以卖书给他。
Get the money.
把这个钱拿来。
我没买，就都给，就是让他们都拿。
Give them.
But you can get, you can sell the book. I'm saying.
我刚才是说你可以卖他们书。
If they give some money, then they'll take more care or more interest in the book.
然后他们要是说是给了钱得到的这个书，他们就会更加的认真。
If you give it free, they don't appreciate.
如果你免费给了他们，他们真的是没有什么。感激
他就不怎么想看，你要
再要钱就更不看了。
OK, another question. 还有其他问题没？ OK, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
只要有电
是手机，
它这录的特别清楚。
什么手机？